Appreciate the music by the missionaries this week, haven't you? That's something kind of different for us. We haven't done that, and so we've enjoyed that this week very, very much. And I told Brother Wiggins, I said, you know, I'm a creature of habit. We do the same thing the same way all the time, and appreciate Brother Wiggins putting this together. And I've kind of stumbled around a little bit, but that's good. We're all right. Do want to encourage, of course, on the faith promise, honestly. And Brother Weedles mentioned it as well, 100% participation. Just pray about giving something. And if you're just you're a new Christian, just recently joined our church, and you don't know exactly what's going on, I just encourage you to get involved, even at whatever level, but get involved. And then secondly, what a blessing for Brother LaRue already knowing the language. That puts him miles ahead, and to be able to get down there and get started and get going. And so we appreciate that, Brother LaRue, the presentation, and look forward to good reports. Amen, and God's blessings. It's good to have Brother Weedo again with us tonight. And for those of you who haven't heard, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas, in your booklet, it tells you he started the church a little over 20 years ago, and God's really blessed that ministry, and we're so thankful for him. He's my best friend in El Dorado, Arkansas. I have a best friend in Boyd. I have a best friend in, anyway, but best friend.
Thank you, best friend. Well, amen. It's good to be his best friend, amen. Whoa. Amen. Can you hear me now? Okay, I've got my last pair of shoes here tonight, so the meeting's about over with, amen. And we'll tell you a little bit about that here in a little bit. Well, I want to thank you all for letting me come again. And I've had a good time this week, enjoyed everything. I've enjoyed the missionaries and enjoyed the church family and, of course, your pastor and just the blessing of being able to fellowship with him and his family and the Wiggins and all. We've just enjoyed it all. It's been a blessing. So thank you all for letting us come again. And it's just been good. And you pray for us and we'll be praying for you. And if you haven't stopped by the tape table back there, we've got some more of those books left, and you can stop by and get you one or whatever. But anyway, we love you in the Lord, and thank you again for everything, okay? And Pastor, thank you for the bottle of wine. That's been great. And not really. But anyway, take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And I want to just say a word about faith promise. You know, when you go to the bank to borrow money for the church, they want to know how many giving units you have and so forth. And, you know, it's not supposed to be like, everybody look here, it's not supposed to be like this where there's just a few families. They like you to go broad in case, you know, you have some attrition or people move or whatever, you know, that you can still make your note. And I just think in a faith promise, you know, pastor saying 100% participation, boy, it's just amazing when everybody does something, how much, you know, I mean, just God just blesses it. Okay, and there's really something to that about just unity in a church that we're all kind of, if we were having a tug of war, that we're all on the same team and we're all pulling in the same direction. And again, I thank God that we can do that, okay? And sometimes it's like little light bulbs, you know? I mean, you'd be sitting here and then all of a sudden, ding, another light bulb comes on and somebody else gets involved in missions. And we just want the whole place to be lit up, amen? And that'll be a great blessing. And please pray for your missionaries. We mentioned that earlier in the week as they travel. And I remember the last time I was here, many of y'all would remember that we were here last time, that John and Wanda Casillas were here. And I can remember us going over to Cabela's and laughing. And Brother Casillas is so jovial and his wife is so sweet and precious. And went back down to the field of Mexico and got, you know, brutally killed and all that stuff. And I'm just saying to you that we just never know. That can happen anywhere in the world, but I'm just saying to you, the safest place to be is in the will of God, doing what God has for you to do. But we can certainly pray, get under the burden to pray for our missionaries, for souls to be saved, but also for their safety. And it's not rocket science. There's a lot of places in the world right now that even to be an American is not really they're just not really accepted like they maybe have been in the past, okay? So our missionaries probably need our prayers right now more than they ever have, okay? Anyway, and even the culture. Nod your head right there on the culture. Yeah, amen, the culture. I was in India and I walked into the bathroom and I was kind of like, okay, where's the toilet paper? And then I got to look a little closer, and I'm like, where's the commode? It just had a hole in the ground. I'm like, what in the world have I got myself into? Amen? I'm telling you, there are some places, you get in these poor places, and I'm telling you, it's different. It's different. And so we need to pray. Amen. I'm glad that I live in America. My heart doctor was from India, and I asked him, I said, Dr. Dodd, do you cook with curry? It's a spice they use, curry. He looked at me and he said, Indians are known for three things, curry, hurry, and worry. Amen. And I invited my cardiologist to come to church. I said, Dr. Dodd, when I get better, I want you to come to church and hear me preach. And he said, I'd be honored to do that. And I was kind of shocked that he said that. So anyway, his nurse had gone to our church for a time for about 6 years. And so we set it all up. And my second Sunday back, he came with his mom and his wife and four children. And two of his nurses came. And our church got to love on him. Amen. So that was a blessing. And I was supposed to go eat with him. So y'all be praying. Amen. We're going to eat some of that Indian food. And their cookies are terrible. You know, they're kind of bland. You know, we're so spoiled here. We think everything's got to be the way we want it. Amen. And in Mexico, I ate some enchiladas one time, and they were made out of mole. And that's like chocolate or something like that. That was different. Anyway, some of these places, I don't even know what I'm eating. Amen. But I do not eat balutes. I know that. Amen. I do not eat balutes. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight, and got something wrote down here. I just want to read to you, and then we're going to get to the message. And I just wrote down, God has been so good to us, and He's holy, and His holiness requires righteousness, righteousness. He's brought us into the courtroom, as it were, where He found us, and we were all guilty with no righteousness. Amen. I didn't have any righteousness of my own. But instead of banishing us from His presence forever as we deserved, He reserved His own righteousness in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave us the free gift, enabled us to receive it by giving us the faith to believe Him and receive His salvation, which is all of grace. He put His own Holy Spirit into our hearts that we might realize in our daily experience the mighty power of His gift of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just glad that I've been justified and I've been adopted into the family of God, and I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with the price, and I'm just glad I'm not going to hell no more. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody again to have a part in the missions program this year. And the only reason why you fill the cards out is just so the church will kind of know how to plan the missions year. The cards are discarded. Nobody's going to call you. It's not like that at all. It's just so the church knows how to plan the missions year, and basically that's it. And as long as you give, we don't care, really. It's honestly just all the money goes right back into circulation. Isn't that a blessing? And I want to say this to you tonight, just kind of a little bit of testimony, and I'll get to the message. The message won't be long. But almost 22 years ago, my little family and I graduated from the Norris Bible Baptist Institute over here in Fort Worth. And when I graduated, you know, I'd sold my Holstein heifers and worked with my dad for 5.5 years there in Arlington, Texas. And then we moved. I knew I was going to go to El Dorado. I'd gone out and visited my aunt who lived there for many years as a nurse and worked there. Through going out and visiting her, I got burdened about going there. And so we went out for 5 months, Pastor, for 5 months, and we raised our money as a church planter, okay? So I'm taking my little family from Texas. You know, we're Texans, okay? So for us to go to El Dorado, Arkansas, and pull up our roots and take grandkids and all that, I mean, it's like we were going to a mission field. You know, I mean, it really was, because we were going to another place that we'd never been before. And I mean, we'd been there and visited, but it wasn't our home. And so we went there and we rented a house and we drove around and we found the building. It was a storefront building, and the ceiling tiles and insulation had, the roof had leaked and stuff had fallen inside, but structurally the building was sound. And so anyway, we rented the building. The landlord fixed the building. It was 8,900 square feet, and we rented the front part of the building. And we met in our home. We started out with 14 people, and then we moved to the storefront building. And God began to bless, and we were knocking doors and doing all the things that you do. And we had 4 chairs on one side and 3 chairs on the other side and a little aisle down the middle. We had little altars that we built, and my wife played the piano, and there wasn't any carpet on the on the floor. It was a tile floor and block type walls, and man, the singing sounded awesome because it was just bouncing off the walls and everything. And it had been an office building, and as I was walking through the office building, I was seeing boys and girls in all the classes. I mean, there was nothing there. It stunk to the high heavens. There was mildew and mold. It was a fixer-upper. But we got in there and we fixed it up. We put new carpet in, and the man let us, instead of paying him rent, we took the monies and bought building supplies, and we had work nights and painted and spruced and fixed it all up. And man, those were great days in the beginning days of our church and ministry, and it was exciting times. And I'm glad that y'all are behind the stones and Brother Jason Pugh and his family. And these are exciting days to have a part and to be the sending church and the responsibility of giving and praying and seeing them go out and all of that. Boy, it's exciting. But you know, I want to just say this to you tonight, that there was a time when I was on the receiving end as a church planner. So it's me and my wife, Deanna, and then we have Joe is 11, Janine is 9, Jake is 5, and Jenna is 2. Joe, Janine, Jake, and Jenna. I'm J.D. We thought about renaming my wife. Her name is Deanna, but had all the J's. But anyway, we moved our little family there, and we started, you know, just started from scratch, and we're still scratching. Amen. 22 years later, we're still scratching and reaching people for the Lord. And now we have, God did a Red Sea miracle for us. We're praying for the Jason about his property. But, you know, we're up here in this little storefront building, and one day I get a phone call from a preacher, and he says, preacher said, you know, and it's a church out on the highway. It was an independent Baptist church, and it was declining, and just a few families were there. And he said, you know, I'm going to be moving to Florida. Why don't we see if we could get the two and put them together? And they had, at that time, 14.68 acres and some buildings. And so I went and met with them and talked to them about my philosophy of ministry, old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned knocking doors and missionaries. And, you know, I mean, just back to the basics, you know, philosophy of ministry. And anyway, they were kind, and they just kind of wanted the option. They didn't want to hold any positions or anything. And so we assumed their liabilities and assets, and they only owed $51,000 on all that property and everything. And we just started making payments at the bank, and we paid that off and burnt the note, and we bought 8 more acres. Now we got 23 acres, and God's been so good to us. It's unbelievable to see what God has done. We've sent out 16 families now out of our church into the ministry, pastors and youth pastors and missionaries, and man, God has been good. But a part of what formulated my burden to go there was when I visited my aunt. She went to a church there in town, and they were correcting the Bible, and I'd heard stories about that, but I just always believed the King James Bible was the Word of God, and everywhere I'd ever been in my whole life, and they just preached the Word and all of that. And, you know, I'm not into all this better rendering, and it should have, you know, the originals, and it should have been all that. I'm not into all that stuff. I just preach the Bible. If a hair lips somebody, it just hair lips them. And, you know, but I believe the Bible's God's inspired and holy Word. And so that kind of bothered me, hearing that guy kind of do what he was doing to the Word of God. And so that bothered me. And then I was seeing boys and girls around the streets. And I mean, I'm from Texas, and I'm looking. I'm like, in my heart, I'm wondering, who's going to tell those boys and girls about Jesus? And I got back to Texas, and I couldn't get that place off my mind. I mean, I couldn't shake it. I mean, I tried to, and you know, but I just couldn't get it off my mind and off my heart. So I just said, okay, Lord, if you want me to go there, I'll go there. And so here we are 22 years later. But I just want to say this, that I thank God for the churches like this church 22 years ago that got behind me. You know what I'm saying? I know it wasn't this church, but churches like this church that had a heart for missions and church planning, and they got behind me, and they put beans on my table, and they took care of my family when it was just in my heart. I didn't know what God was going to do or what was going to happen, but I'm glad they believed in me, and I'm glad they had faith in God and faith in a church planner to go get the job done for the Lord. And that's really what we're doing to these missionaries. You go out, you work your job, you bring your money in, and you give some of it to missions, you bring your tithe to the Lord, and you give some to missions. You're giving a part of your life because time is money. Yeah. Are y'all listening to me? You go out and you're working hard to earn money to bring in here so that they can help us take the gospel Amen. To parts of the world that we can't go to. And so we need them, but they need us. And so we team up with the missionaries to get the job done for the Lord. Are y'all with me? And that's why we can fulfill the Great Commission. But Well, I'll tell you, we've all got to work together, and that's why we just want everybody to get in on the blessing, really. That's the heart of God. His missions is the heart of God. And we've just found that churches that have a heart for what God has a heart for, God blesses those churches. He blesses missions-minded, missions-hearted churches. And so anyway, I'm very, very thankful. We're fixing to get to the message here. Y'all okay? Let me tell you one more little story. We have just started our church, preacher, and it hadn't been going very long. We're in the storefront building, and things were kind of a little bit tight, you know, with my family and I, you know, and I'm the church planner, and when you support a church planner, you're really supporting the man and his family to get the job done for the Lord, but things were tight in our offerings. We just didn't have very many people, and we were kind of, you know, juggling things, and, you know, paycheck to paycheck, or however you want to say it, we needed this week's offering to kind of, you know, I mean, it was just kind of tight. And a preacher friend of mine from Grand Prairie, Texas, it wasn't Brother Grice, it was before his time maybe, but Brother George Weaver, he just pastored a small church over there, and I don't even know Brother Weaver that good. I'd met him before a time or two, but I mean, we weren't like real good friends or anything, but I mean, we are friends, but I'm just saying that one day he calls me and said, "Pastor Weedo, I'm going to be passing through El Dorado. Just want to see if we could stop by and see you." Nobody passes through El Dorado, Arkansas. I should have known something was up. And he told me he was going to be there that Wednesday night. And he pulled in, and this was awesome. But he pulled in that Wednesday night, and he backed his little van up. And he came in, and I was at the church a little bit early. I knew he was coming. And he said, "Pastor, we got some things for you." How many of y'all know what a pounding is? An old-fashioned pounding. That's where the people in the church bring in groceries. And they had an ice chest full of meat and some roast and some chicken and some hamburger meat. They didn't really know, but God did, that our cupboard was a little bit bare. We didn't have a lot of stuff in our house. And we started unloading all these bags of groceries and all that meat. Man, that was a blessing. I like to eat. Amen. Are y'all with me? God bless me with a good appetite. And, well, anyway, he got all that stuff brought in, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "the different Sunday school classes have been taking up offerings for your family." And he started getting out little bags of money, and he was handing me baggies full of change and stuff, and he'd say, "This is from the primary department, and this is from the junior department, and this is from the young people, and then this is from the adult," but he had it all in different baggies. I thought, man, this is good stuff. Thank you, Lord, amen, for taking care of us. And I'm saying the things we do for these missionaries, hey, what a blessing. What a blessing to be a blessing. I know their church got a blessing from doing all that, but I'm telling you, it was overwhelming to be on the receiving end of something like that when you just kind of knew that God, you know, I mean, that God did all that for us. I don't have any horror stories of our little family, you know, gathering around one can of pork and beans and all of us eating out the same. I don't have any stories like that. I don't. He's taking good care of us. I'm fat and sassy, amen. Luke chapter 16 tonight. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to preach to you on hell for just a few minutes. And I don't know of anything that motivates me more in my Christian life than every once in a while. I think Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, 3.5 years, He preached on hell 8 times. It's not a real popular subject, but I'll just say this to you. About every 6 months, the pastor has to clear off a spot and just rear back and preach on hell. Amen? And I do that at our place, and I make it a point to do that because just nobody preaches on hell anymore. I read an article where 73% of pastors don't even believe in a literal burning hell anymore. Dr. J. Frank Norris said this. He said, I would do anything to keep a man out of hell. That's why we send these missionaries. The bottom line is that we don't want people to die and go to hell in the distant lands. We don't want you to die and go to hell if you're here tonight and you're lost. Bottom line, good singing, good spirit, all that good stuff, but we just don't want you to die and go to hell. When I preach in jail every Tuesday night, bottom line, I don't want the people in jail to die and go to hell. Luke 16, we give you 4 cries tonight, 4 cries from hell, 4 cries from hell. Go through the message quickly. Luke 16, verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." I mean, this guy had it made in the shade with pink lemonade. And I mean, he fared sumptuously. I mean, whatever he wanted, every day he had it. Fine linen. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Now I want you to look down at verse number 24. It says, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 23. And verse 24 says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. Now he cries for mercy. He cries for mercy. And again, verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I'm going to tell you something. He's still crying for mercy even today. And, you know, I thought about this, you know, to go to hell and if you just burned up and that was it, I mean, it'd be over with. But those people that have died and went there, they're still there today and they're still crying for mercy. They're still crying out for mercy in that awful place called hell. I believe in a literal burning hell. A literal burning hell. I do not believe it's a, you know, it's a hypothetical or something like that. I believe it's literal. It's not figurative. It's literal. I believe it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, as the Bible describes it. And that's exactly how I believe it, okay, as a Bible-believing Christian. And they're still crying for mercy today in hell. I like the little song that says, how many times have I bowed before God just to ask His forgiveness for some wrong I have done? And how many times have I heard the Lord say, child, as long as I have mercy, you're forgiven this day. Mercy, mercy, God's loving mercy that saved both you and me. If we had gotten justice, we'd surely be lost. But we found mercy when we knelt at the cross. And by the way, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. And Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he had received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Jesus is the one that makes the difference. Are you listening to me? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. The cry of mercy. Then the cry of misery. The cry of misery. The cry for mercy. He just waited too long. He waited until after he died. And you do that and it's too late. The cry of misery. Verse number 24, the last part of the verse, he says, I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. Verse 23, the first part says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. In torments. I have a friend of mine who's a fireman. He was a volunteer fireman in Callion, Arkansas. Callion's right close to us, right on the river, the Ouachita River. His name was Danny Staples, and they'd gotten a call. It was the night where the storming outside, and a power line was down, and Danny Staples was a volunteer firefighter, and he's a big guy, he's real tall, and a 6'4", 6'5". But Brother Wiggins, the power line that was on the ground, he stepped on it, and it got somehow or another got hung in the heel of his boot. And all that voltage went up through his body, and it came out the back of his head. He lost both of his legs, and he's got a big old bald spot on the back of his head. It's a miracle that he lived. Are you listening to me? I had Danny Staples come to our church and have him give his testimony. And he told us the story. My Aunt Jody was the charge nurse at the ICU at our hospital in El Dorado, Arkansas. And my aunt kind of off the record told the family, you need to get him out of here. We're not equipped to handle somebody that's been burned this bad. And they took him to Shreveport, and then I believe it was on to maybe Brooks Army deal down in San Antonio, and where they had the burn deal there. And anyway, Danny Staple described to us and told us a story about how they would scrape his body and how excruciating the pain is, and how he would hallucinate and see things because of the torment physically that he was going through. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, in hell, in hell, a drunk person, you know, that dies in his sin, dies lost without God. I'm telling you, he's going to be tormented throughout all eternity. Somebody's been spaced out on drugs and they die in their sin. They're not going to get a new body to suffer in. They're going to suffer. I'm telling you, they have no idea how the child molester and people in hell. I'm telling you, I believe there's going to be different degrees of hell. You know, in hell. You know, and I'm telling you, it's not all. People say, well, I'm going to go there and be with all my friends. Hey, you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face. It's outer darkness. Weeping, wailing, gnashing. It's not going to be a big party. These smart alecks and people want to try to act like, oh, well, we're going down to hell. No, it ain't like that. You better study your Bible a little bit. Man, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I'm just saying that, hey, they're crying for mercy, but there's also a cry of misery. Why? Because they're tormented in the flame. Then the third cry tonight is the cry of memory. The cry of memory. Look at verse number 25. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Listen, can you imagine the rich man, and probably in his mind he's remembering how he treated Lazarus. Remembers Lazarus there begging for crumbs which fell from the feet of the rich man. And he probably maybe laughed and made light of it. Maybe the rich man, when he was younger, maybe he went to church. Maybe he sat through Sunday school and processed some of that. He got up a little bit older and he kind of blew God off. I mean, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I'll tell you what, I do know this, that he has memory in hell. He had his eyes in hell, and he's lifting up his eyes, and he's crying out in torment in hell. Are you listening to me? I'm glad I'm not going there. He's remembering. He's begging that Lazarus would, that they'd send Lazarus, and that Lazarus would dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hell's a serious thing. Can I tell you this? If I didn't believe in a literal burning hell, I'd close my Bible, I'd get in my car and drive back to Arkansas, and never preach again. Why do you travel all over the world, Brother Weedo, and go different places and all that? I go there to get people saved and to challenge people and encourage people. I was sharing with Pastor the other day. I was preaching up in Searcy, Arkansas in a revival meeting, and I got there. Pastor Rick Brooks, a friend of mine, said, Brother Weedo, there's a lady here that knows you. And I said, really? And so I went on into the church, and it turned out that this lady had gotten saved at the Potago Youth Camp when she was 9 years old, when I was preaching a week at camp. And she's in the United States Air Force. She just finished her basic training at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, and then now she's just stationed in Jacksonville, Arkansas at the Air Force Base there. And I thought, wow, that was a blessing. And I got to talking to her. Her name was Chelsea. And Chelsea said, Brother Weedo, I got saved when I was 9. And the next year you came back and my sister got saved also. And I was thinking, wow, what a blessing. Thank you, Lord. You know, you never know how far reaching when you're preaching the gospel. You never know how far reaching it is. Last night, some of our people were out knocking on doors and passing out tracts and witnessing to people. And one of our men was in jail. He kind of coordinates our jail ministry. So we have about 10 people that go into jail, about 5 ladies and 5 men on Tuesday nights with our jail ministry. But so one of our men's there directing that jail ministry. And some other guys are out knocking on doors. And they lead the man who leads our jail ministry. They led his adult son to the Lord last night on soul winning. They knocked on his mother's door, not even knowing that it was Brother Larry's mother and Brother Larry's son. Her grandson was there, and that young man accepted Christ as his Savior last night. Isn't that good? Man, I'll tell you, that, you know, that's just good stuff. I don't care who you are, who your mama is. If you're saved, that ought to be a blessing to you. And I'm just thinking, wow, all these memories that the people are going to have in hell. Look down in verse 27, this is the last one. The cry for mercy, the cry for misery, the cry of memory, and the cry for a missionary. Verse 27, the rich man in hell said, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Wow. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Man, this rich man in hell, now everybody listen to me. You know, we can be yawning and going to sleep and all that when it's preaching time. But hey, listen to me. I'm telling you, in hell, they're hoping you're paying attention. They're wanting somebody to go tell their brothers and sisters and their family, people that are in hell, that maybe were all hard and act like they didn't need God. When they get to hell, all of a sudden, they get a burden for their family. Are you listening to me? And they're hoping that somebody will go by and knock on their family's door. And they're hoping that somebody will give their family member a tract with the Bible Way to Heaven on it. Are you listening to me? And I'm just saying to you tonight, well, a part of what formulated my burden to go to El Dorado, Arkansas was that I did not want people there to die and go to hell. And I couldn't get it off my mind. I couldn't get it off my heart. Young people, you got some friends, and if you don't tell them about Jesus, I'm telling you, some of your friends are going to spend eternity in hell. And they're going to look at you and say, hey, why didn't you tell me? I was your friend. We went to school together. We laughed. We talked. But yet you never told me. I knew you went to church, but you never told me about Jesus. Man, that's what a mission... I think it's hypocritical to send missionaries all around the world and let our own neighbors die and go to hell. This does not relieve us of our responsibility to pass out tracts and to be a witness. I got a call one day from my aunt. My aunt, after she kind of got out of the ICU, she went into home health and she was the director of home health and she did evaluations on patients. And they asked some kind of a spiritual question and... You know, we're in a small town. My aunt would say, well, my nephew's a pastor. Would you like for him to come by and pray with you? And so I'd go by and pray with different people if they didn't have a pastor or whatever. And as the Lord led, well, one day my aunt calls me and she told me, she said, hey, there's a lady over here and she's dying of cancer. And her 11-year-old daughter is really struggling. She's treating her mother ugly. She's not treating her mama nice. And of course, 11-year-old daughter trying to process her mom's dying and all that. It's a lot. We understand that. So I went by and I knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door. So there was a little beauty shop around back. And I went back around to the beauty shop and talked to the lady there. And she said, well, I'll go through the house and I'll come around to the front door. So she did. She went around the house and came through the front door. And I came in and Miss Sherry Kay was there and her daughter came in and I talked to the little girl and I just told the little girl, I said, listen, your mom is very sick and she loves you and it's not right for you to be ugly to your mom. It's just not right. And I was just kind of talking to her from my heart like you would talk to one of my daughters or to a little girl. And then I asked both of them, you know, I mean, if something happens, do you know for sure that, if something happens to you, do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? And both of them shook their head no. And I took them through the whole plan of salvation. And the mama and the daughter received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The mother lived like 8 days. I mean, it was just like right under the radar. I mean, she got saved, by the skin of her teeth. Just lived a few days. Well, I went to the funeral and these were like a bus type family and they asked me up on the platform and I told the story about how she'd accepted Christ as her Savior. It was very, very good. And the little girl went to Houston, Texas to live with one of her uncles. I'm glad that one day I'll see her again in heaven. Are y'all listening to me? We had a little bus girl one time. Her name was Martha Hernandez and little old Martha got saved and she couldn't speak English. We don't have a Spanish ministry and she came to our church and started riding the bus and she was young. She was like 9 years old and she had grown up in Mexico her whole life. Her grandpa owned a dairy over there so me and her were buddies and she learned English and Martha got saved and kept on coming to church and finally she got up in high school and we were all proud of Martha and all that. She played basketball for Northland High School and she was just a good girl, sweet girl and all that. And we loved Martha. Well, Martha, it came time to the homecoming deal or whatever. And Martha said, Pastor, would you be my escort for homecoming? And I said, well, Martha, what about your stepdad? And she said, I want my pastor to be my escort. I'm like, oh, brother. I mean, we loved her since she was a little girl and she'd gotten saved and she loved Jesus. And I said, Martha, I'd be honored to be your escort. And you've seen that on TV or whatever, the football games, you know, and it's a small town. Norfolk's a little small town, and the stadium's filled, and all the other girls have their flowers and all that stuff, and I'm Martha's escort, and, you know, the other girls have their dad, pastor, you know, they mark 10 to, you know, so many yard lines, and then they walk across the football field, and they say all the accomplishments. Martha had me by the arm, and we walked across, and she was an honor student, and I mean, all these different things, and I was so proud to be her escort. I'm glad that I went to El Dorado, Arkansas. If Martha Hernandez was the only little Mexican girl that we ever reached, it would have been worth it all. Are you listening to me? I'm glad that Martha's not going to hell no more. We had a little girl who had cerebral palsy. Her name is Allie Johnson. Allie started riding the church bus when she was 4. She'd climb up on the church. She's crippled. I mean, she's crippled and hunkled over. She's small in stature. But little old Allie Johnson, she'd climb up on that bus. She didn't want nobody to help her get on the bus. She's an independent Baptist. And she'd climb up on the church bus, and she started coming, and she lived in a little 12 by 28 little portable building and a real rough home life. Little red portable building, and we'd go by and pick her up. She came up to all the services. And some of our ladies bought her some dresses. They just kind of knew and loved her that she didn't have a lot. And some of our ladies bought her some little dresses. And she sang in the youth choir. She went to youth camp. And one day I got a call. It's preaching a missions conference. And I got a call that Allie Johnson got hit by a car. She was a freshman in high school. And it was late in the afternoon, and the elderly lady just didn't see her. And she just ran over and it killed her. And they asked me to have part in the funeral. We was at the city auditorium. She was a little black girl. Had the choir behind me. All the high school teachers were sitting on the back row. Man, there's a bunch. Everybody knew Allie. Everybody in our town knew who she was because she walked everywhere. Little crippled girl. Small town. Everybody knew who she was. But I got to get up and have a part, preacher, and I told them how Allie had asked Jesus to come into her heart. Miss Allie told one of our ladies, Miss Donna, she said, "You know, when I grow up, I want to find a boy that loves Jesus as much as I love Jesus." That's pretty good coming out of that kind of culture like that. Wanted to find a boy that loved Jesus as much as she loved Jesus. Yeah, I'm in on this. I don't want people to go to hell. Y'all listening to me? I'm done. But I want to tell you about this last pair of shoes. Are you okay? Y'all good for one more pair of shoes? This pair of shoes here belonged to a missionary out of my church. Right here. The missionary's name was Dwayne Arender. Brother Dwayne had pastored. He was a missionary Baptist pastor for 22 years. And long-standing pastor, believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. I mean, he was right down the line on his doctrine and everything. And he called me one day, and I think the missionary Baptist had said he was too old to go to the field. Or he felt like he wasn't ever going to get there. And so he called me. He was in the Philippines, and he saw something. He'd been to one of our missions conferences one night, and he came back and he said, "Pastor Wido, I don't want to tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what I believe." And he told me what he believed. And man, he believed in all the, you know, the basic doctrines of the Bible. And he said, "If you would let me, I'd like to go out of your church and go to the Philippines as a missionary." And man, I'm telling you, he raised his support in a very short time, and he loved all the pastors. I mean, man, it was unbelievable how fast. Well, they got over there, and he was an airplane pilot, and I mean, this guy was a visionary type guy. He's a black belt in karate. He just got a lot of things on the ball, but he loved Jesus. He's a go-getter for the Lord. And he got over there, and his wife, Miss Diane, contracted stage 4 breast cancer. They're on their way to Manila. They were up in to the Ilocano speaking people up in the mountains about 6 hours from Manila. They're on their way to Manila, and all of a sudden, Brother Dwayne starts having chest pains. What had happened, he'd had a motorcycle accident, and it bruised him, and he never thought anything about it, but the bruise, I guess, turned into a blood clot. And next thing I know, he's in ICU. He lives about 3 weeks. I'm making plans to go over to be with him. His father called me from Mississippi and said, "Brother, well, you know, I'm up in years and I can't go and be with my son. Could you go over there?" And I said, "Well, I can, but my passport's expired. I mean, or my visa's expired. I got to get that back, you know, done, and then I'll head on over there." So I was making plans to go over there to be with him, and I'm his pastor. Well, anyway, he dies on the field. A couple of his sons had gone over there and so forth, and the body has to be quarantined and crated, and his wife has to be there and fly back with the body and all that. But, you know, all of that, and Brother Dwayne was 50 years old. He was just a little bit older than I was at that time. But I want to just say this to you. Why would a man who could finish out pastoring here and had, you know, I mean, it wasn't like he, I mean, God was blessing his ministries here, but he got a burden. And he wanted to fly airplanes over to Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam. I mean, he had all these plans of things he was going to do and getting the Word of God out and gospel tracts and seeing people saved and all of that. Are y'all listening to me? What would motivate, what would cause these missionaries to want to go someplace else in the world and tell people about Jesus? It's a burden. It's a burden. What would make a redhead from Texas load up the family and move his little family to El Dorado, Arkansas? Who ever heard of El Dorado, Arkansas? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Are y'all listening to me? It's that burden in your heart. And I'm just saying, as a church family, why does a pastor bring in somebody to preach the devil out of you, and preach on sin and preach on consecration and try to challenge your heart for missions and preach on hell? You know what? We need to get under the burden. We need to get under the burden. How long has it been since you passed out a tract? How long has it been since you told somebody your story? Hey, we just need to wake up. I'm telling you, I thank God for this church and I thank God for what you're doing in the area of Faith Promise missions. But let's not forget our responsibility to be a witness at work and out. You know, there's people everywhere. People everywhere. And Jesus said, I must needs be about my Father's business. My Father's business. And I just say, I appreciate missionaries who give their lives to go and tell people about the Lord, because there's a hell. Because there's a hell. I have a song, Brother Wiggins. You can come. And I asked Brother Wiggins if he'd sing this song. And it's going to be our invitation song. I'm going to pray and we'll just let him sing it while we're having a little time of invitation. But let's bow our heads tonight, okay? Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would, with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor Weedle, I'm so thankful that I am a Christian. I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I do know that. Would you slip your hand up? All over the building. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. God bless you. And I appreciate all of you being here tonight. We love you in the Lord. How many say, Pastor Weedle, I've not been the witness that I ought to be as a Christian. I really have. And I used to be a lot more, I was a better witness than I am right now. Would you pray for me? I've not been the witness I ought to be myself. Would you slip your hand up right there? Christians all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I just want to remind us all tonight that there is a hell. And that's why we send these missionaries around the world, because we believe what the Bible teaches about that awful place called hell. And they're crying in hell for somebody to send a missionary to their friends and their family members. For those of you that aren't involved in the missions program of the church, we're praying for you that you would understand it's a voluntary offering, it's a free will offering that you give to help reach people in other parts of the world. What a wonderful thing it is to have a part in the missions program of this church. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, we just all need to be reminded that we need a burden, Lord. A burden, Lord. Something in our heart that wouldn't go away for a friend or a family member. And yes, Lord, for people around the world as we think about missions and missionaries. Thank you for the burden that you placed on the missionary's heart, Lord, to go to Chile and, Lord, to go to Canada and, Lord, these different places, Lord, the Philippines. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing of burdening their hearts and their willingness to go, and then giving us the opportunity to help spread the gospel to the regions beyond our place. And bless now the invitation. You've seen the hands, you know the hearts. If there's somebody here tonight that's lost without God, I pray they'd come and be saved even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.